I don't know her name or how she ended up in the temple treasury that day. I don't know her backstory or any of the circumstances that led to her becoming a widow. I don't know if she spent her days begging or if she labored in someone's vineyard to get by. I don't know if it was part of her daily routine to go to the temple to pray and give an offering, or if she was just at her wit's end and needed a place to feel close to God. I don't know if she even knew who Jesus was, or if she would have recognized him if she saw him sitting there that morning. The circumstances of her life are a mystery to us, and yet her story has lived on in Scripture for 2,000 years. As a widow, she would have been invisible to those surrounding her that day. With no male family member to look after her, she had no assets, no rights, and no prospects. When she offered her penny that morning, she had no idea that we would be sitting here hearing her story and learning from her act of faith. It's clear that she didn't have much, if anything, at all. While others were making grand gestures with their riches, she made a small gesture, likely unnoticed by everyone except Jesus. Her two copper coins combined amounted to less than a penny, and yet we're told that was all she had to live on. She not only offered her coins that day, she offered her very life, her entire livelihood. She did not give, like the others, out of her abundance and wealth. She gave out of her poverty. As I read this scripture in the Believe book this week, that line from Mark's gospel jumped out at me. Out of her poverty, she gave. She literally had nothing to give, and yet she gave anyway. For her, it wasn't a matter of sitting down at home, preparing her monthly budget, and figuring out what her offering could be. There was no future planning involved, or logical conversation about what she could afford. When you have nothing to give and you give it anyway, it's a much different kind of offering than when you have much and make a choice about how much to give. I wonder if she had Psalm 24 running through her head that day as she entered the temple, because her act of faith was certainly a recognition of its truth. I imagine her singing those words to herself quietly as she approached the treasury. The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it, the world and those who live in it. For he has founded it on the seas and established it on the rivers. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place? Those who have clean hands and pure hearts, who do not lift up their souls to what is false. They will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from the God of their salvation. Like I said, I don't know her story or if she grew up in a faithful Jewish household. But I'd be willing to bet that this woman knew God and loved God deeply. I'd be willing to bet that God's faithfulness to her was the only thing keeping her going each day. And along with recognizing that faithfulness, I bet she understood that all she had been given was from God. No one else was there to care for her or to provide for her needs. So throughout her life, she had learned what it meant to rely on God for everything. You see, her gift to the treasury was about more than sacrifice. Jesus reminds us that it had nothing to do with the amount of money that she gave, but about her reliance on God, knowing that God would provide for her. Jesus seems to remind us that it is when we give out of our poverty, not our abundance, that it is truly pleasing to God. When we give out of our wealth or abundance, it may well be a sacrifice, but it's not always a sign of us relying on God. If we have the abundance to share and we share it with others, that is certainly pleasing to God, and God delights in those gifts. But God is a God of inclusion and provision, and does not exclude anyone from being able to give thanks for what God has given them. Because the truth is that everything is the Lord's, even our poverty. So how would we live our lives differently if we realized that even our poverty belongs to God? And that even in our poverty, we are called to give. As middle and upper class Protestants in North America, we often speak of poverty as something that other people experience, and we work hard to eradicate it for others in our community and in our world. And God is pleased with our efforts when we care for the poor and the widows, the orphans and the refugees. But God also invites us to see where we ourselves are poor. It's important for us to recognize our own places of poverty. So in the midst of stewardship season, where we are being asked to consider our commitment to the church in the coming year, we should not only consider what we might give out of our abundance, but also what we might give out of our poverty. Because even our poverty is God's. So where are you poor? Where do you lack resources? Where do you feel like you have nothing left to give? Is it time? Or compassion? Is it money? Or love? Is it mercy for yourself or for others? Is it understanding and empathy? Perhaps these places of our own poverty is where God is calling us to give an offering. For when we give out of our poverty, we are reminded that everything is God's, and that God is a trustworthy provider. A few years ago, when I was serving another church here in Traverse City, I was lucky enough to witness a scene that felt much like the widow's offering. I don't know her name or how she ended up in church that morning. I don't know how long she had been without a home or how many nights she had been staying with Safe Harbor. I don't know if she spent her days begging or if she found odd jobs around town to try and make ends meet. I don't know if she grew up in church or if she was just desperate to meet God that morning. The circumstances of her life remain a mystery to me, and yet her act of giving will stick with me for years to come. It was clear that she didn't have much. Her clothes were dingy and she was a bit disheveled. Yet she came and worshiped that morning, followed the liturgy, and sang with gusto. And when it came time for the offering to be taken, the others were putting large sums of money in the plate as it came around. And when it came to her, she reached into her backpack and joyfully put her offering into the plate. And as the plate continued down the row, I got a glimpse of that offering, a bright yellow, slightly bruised banana. It was one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen, that yellow banana being placed on that church's altar as an offering of thanks for all that God had given her. Out of her poverty, she gave everything she had. Friends, whether we have $1 million in our bank account or only a banana in our backpack, God is calling us to remember that everything we have is God's. So may we not hold anything back, not even our poverty. For God can do amazing things in and through us when we offer everything we are and everything we have. Thanks be to God.
Amen.
Amen.